I'm all right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Sheila, and I'm a gratefully recovering addict. Oh, man. I'm nervous, y'all. I need to get that out so it can get out there and float out there, you know. I want to thank the God of my understanding, who is loving, caring, compassionate, and forgiving. And I need a God like that in my life to love me and to care for me and to forgive me. I want to talk a little bit about me, how it was for me in the beginning. I know in the beginning when they asked me to share, y'all, I was going through all kinds of anxieties. For a whole week, I went to my therapist and I said, I've been having anxieties all week long. You know, I was reading books, you know, and nothing's going to come out about what I read, you know. So I said, I got to pray and ask God to guide me, the God of my understanding. I know when I first came in here, you all told me to find a God of my understanding. Y'all told me to find something that had more power than me, that it could be the group. It could be you people in these rooms, you know. It could be anything that I choose, you know. I want to quit saying, too. I need to get comfortable and loose and relaxed, you know. It's real beautiful that all of us are out here together because this is unity. This shows me that y'all want to stay clean. You know, I remember when I was out there and I used to make a lot of excuses, you know. Especially being clean and making excuses not to go to meetings. But I have to remember, I was the same woman that was walking with a dress on for 3 days. And that was going outside with a coat on and a negligee on because I was out there tricking. I was out there trying to get my man. You know, only through the grace of God that I stand here today in front of you all. Only through His grace and only through you people. I want to thank Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank CPRCNA. You know, for allowing me to share. How it was for me in the beginning, y'all, I started using it 8 years old. I had my first drug. And also, I'm a survivor of sexually molested children. My disease progressed. From all the things that happened to me in my life, a lot of feelings came up. I had a whole lot of things going on with me before I even picked up. I was stealing. I learned how to manipulate at a young age. I knew how to lie at a young age. I had a whole lot of shame and guilt at a young age. I was a caretaker at a young age. I had an adult responsibility that was not mine at 5 and 6 years old. I'm a product of Kinston, North Carolina. That's where I was born. From a family of 8 children. And I was raised in D.C. Like I said, I used my first drug at 8 years old. And through going to school and all the things that was happening to me, I didn't know how to deal with those feelings that I had, all those traumas that happened in my life. You know, I felt like I didn't fit in. You know, I was a loner. I learned how to isolate at a young age. I learned all these things before I started using drugs. The drugs just enhanced everything, you know. My disease got worse. I had my first child at 17. I have 6 children today. I used for 27 years. I lost my children. I want to dress it up and say, oh, I gave my kids up. No, I lost my children because I neglected them. When the psychiatrist told me, you ain't really love your kids, I laughed at him. I said, yes, I did. He said, no, you didn't. And when I went to my room, this is when I was in a treatment facility, and I looked at the real picture, I said, he's right. I really did lose my kids. I didn't love my kids because I didn't know how to love myself. I didn't even like myself. You know, my first treatment facility was in 92. By this time, I had 5 kids. No, I had 4 children. And I went to my first treatment facility in Mountain Manor in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And I stayed there for 28 days. And I did everything they told me to do, but I still wanted to try to do things my way. Because, see, I always thought that I had some kind of power and that I was running something. You know, I found out I am not the one. I came back out and I didn't take all the suggestions that they gave me because I still wanted to do things my way, like I said. Because, see, I'm self-reliant. I suffer from all the character defects. You know, y'all told me that I'd get better. I won't be fixed, and I will not be right. I'm not going to be well. I'm just going to get better. I stayed clean for 3 months. I didn't get a sponsor, and I didn't talk to anyone and tell them what I was going through. I went back out and used, and I stayed out there for 2.5 years. I was living in Berry Farms in D.C., Southeast. By this time, I had lost my kids. I had sold my bedroom furniture and my kids' beds. Because, of course, you know, I was selling the Pampers. I was selling the food stamps that I was receiving on welfare. You know, leaving the baby in the crib crying, putting the kids in the room while I was using. Those are the kind of things that I used to do. You know, walking and being with anybody and everybody. You know, I had to do what I had to do to use. That was my main purpose, was to use, to make me feel better, to make me feel different than what I was feeling. Because I didn't want to deal. I didn't want to deal with life, with reality. I wanted to escape. I didn't know how to deal. I didn't know how to deal with my feelings. I went back into a treatment facility in 95. After I lost my children, and I ended up jumping out the window, a two-story window, and then I ended up getting to a not yet, because I used to always say I was going to never shoot no dope. And I ended up shooting some dope, y'all, and it made me feel good, and it scared me. I went into Washington Hospital Center for 8 days, and then I went to California for 14 days. And after that, I went to Florida for 2 months. And I was married at the time. And this gentleman in my life, he supported me, and he was there for me. He used to take me to the meetings. He used to, I used to go to the meth program with him and sit in the meetings. I couldn't wait to get out so I can go and use. You know, I identified out. I wasn't ready. After I got out of that treatment facility, I stayed clean for 8 months, and I was pregnant again with my sixth child. By this time, I had to go to parenting classes. I had reunification with my children. I didn't like it. It didn't feel good because I don't like nobody telling me what to do. I don't like authority. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. It don't work like that. After 2.5 years, I got my kids back. I ended up getting a divorce from my husband. That was the hardest thing that I could have ever done, and I wasn't able to do it by myself. I know when I got out of treatment, y'all told me to go to meetings, 90 and 90. Y'all told me to get my sponsor. I had a sponsor. She didn't turn her back on me. She was there for me, you know. I went to meetings. I did what they told me to do. I started learning how to reach out and ask somebody for some help and stop thinking that I can do it on my own. I had to reach out to people that I didn't even know, you know. And at first I was real scared because I didn't think that they was going to accept me because I wasn't accepting myself. I wasn't loving myself. I had to learn how to care about Sheila, you know. It's been a process. That's what it's been. Through the grace, you people, I wouldn't be able to make it, you know. To tell somebody I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? To let that false pride fall to the side. You know. I ended up getting a house. Me and my ex-husband. We had our children back. I got a divorce. The hardest thing for me to do was for me to stand up for myself. See, I had no individuality then. I did what you wanted me to do. Whatever you wanted to do was okay with me. Because, see, I validated my feelings from you. Because I didn't feel good about myself. I had to stand up for me. I ended up having my husband removed from the house that we were living in. That was real hard for me to do. I had the 4 kids with me. I was struggling, but through the grace of God, he found it possible for me to stay in a house for 11 months with those 5 kids, without paying mortgage. The job that I was working, I couldn't handle all the bills. the therapist that I was going to see suggested that I go and sign up for housing in Rockville, and that's what I did. I know when I first came in here, y'all told me the steps to keep me clean, and I never knew what you all meant in the beginning. You know, but I'm finding out the steps do keep you clean. Y'all told me to get into some service, you know, some service work. I like doing service work today. I like giving it back. If I don't give it back, I won't be able to keep it. Hopefully, I'll help somebody. I know after my ex-husband ended up leaving, or I had him removed, the loneliness kicked in. All those feelings that came up that I didn't know how to deal with. Because like I said, I didn't have any individuality. I validated my feelings from him. I used to get on my knees and cry and pray, God help me, because I don't know what to do. Y'all told me I had to surrender. You know, the first step tells me that I have to get honest. My sponsor used to always tell me to thine own self be true. I never knew what she meant until I experienced it. And it was all right for me to admit that I was an addict. But for me to accept it and believe it, and to believe that I'm going to always be an addict, that was a hard thing for me to accept. I didn't want to accept that. Because, see, I was all good. Wasn't nothing bad about me. I was a goody-goody girl. It's not so. It's not so today. I know I went to some meetings. I started calling my sponsor like y'all suggested to me. Every day. I still call her today. Every day. I still stick to the basics. I call anybody in my network that I have to call. When I need the wine, when I need to get some stuff up off of me, when I don't know what to do. Lots of times I don't know what to do, and I need some help, you know. Through working the steps, I've been able to see me. That's something I've always hid from, seeing Sheila. Getting honest with me, because see, I always sugarcoat my situations. I always fix things up and make them real comfortable for me. Especially when it's in a real uncomfortable situation. But through the grace of God, through you people, through Narcotics Anonymous, through the steps, because the steps will keep you clean, through this gift that God has blessed me with, you know, because this is called a gift. You know, that's what this is. You know, and I've experienced some joy. I've experienced some miracles. You know, I'm a single mother today. Lots of times I be saying, y'all stress me out. No, you don't stress me out. I stress myself out. It's always easier for me to blame somebody else. So I won't have to be held accountable for my own stuff. So I won't have to be held accountable for my own behavior. So I won't have to be responsible. I've gotten so much help in these rooms. My sponsor told me, she said, you never know where your help come from. Your help can come from a person with one day clean. And it's true. I take what I need and I leave the rest. That's how it works for me. I read the literature. Go to some meetings. I share. Lots of times I listen because I had to learn how to listen too. Because see, I suffer from know-it-allism too. Thinking I know everything. And I don't. I'm learning. I'm remaining teachable. Open. She told me always remain open so I can get what I need. And that's what I have to do today. Lots of times I have to do a lot of things that I don't want to do. Lots of times I don't want to come to a meeting. You know what I mean? But I got to come. I got to share. I got to help somebody with no strings attached. See, I've always been the kind of person, if I do something for you, you got to do something for me. You do whatever I want you to do. And if you do something for me, I owe you something. And I blame it on you real fast. It ain't yours, it's mine. That's those deep, deep, deep secrets that's inside. That old garbage in my recycler, you know, that I suffer from. That I'm healing from. Because I'm getting some healing today. From the old garbage that I've carried around for years. You know what it's like being locked, stocked, and barreled? You know, locked away in my own prison cell. And throwing away the key. No way out. But there's always a way out, y'all. I'm here to report. There's some hope. in every situation. Because that's what you people give me. You give me hope that I can go on in spite of. You know, I had to learn how to go on in spite of. When I had my ex-husband removed from the house, and I used to get on my knees and I used to cry, and I used to call somebody and I'd say I'm lonely, and I miss him. But we had a real unhealthy relationship, y'all. We was hurting one another. I don't know nothing about love. I don't know nothing about healthy relationships. I had to learn about healthy relationships. I'm learning today about healthy relationships. That was the hardest thing for me to do. Lots of times I want to blame my ex-husband now. You know, especially when I get overwhelmed with responsibilities. Because lots of times I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to be taking the kids to the therapist. Because through the grace of God, two of my kids go to therapy. And I want to get therapy for the rest of them. It's a counselor that comes to my house. And this is just the way God works. Because he put so many beautiful, wonderful people in my life to help me, to support me, to guide me down the right path when I don't know what to do. A counselor comes to my house 3 times out of a week, and she works with me and my children. 2 of the kids go to therapy. I had to end up getting a mentor for my son. They got issues. They was exposed to my addiction. They got behaviors. I see a reflection of me through them. And I said, I don't want them to go through what I went through. I have a 21-year-old that's incarcerated. You know? Why? Jails, institutions, and death? Because he want to sell drugs. You know what I mean? And that's what happens. Jails, institutions, and death. I've been to jail. I've been to an institution. And I thought it was okay. I didn't know that I was crazy. I didn't know that I had some insanity going on with me. You know? I didn't have nerve enough to die or kill myself. I used to think that I wanted to kill myself. But if I really, really wanted to kill myself, I would have jumped off a bridge or something or shot myself in the head. So I didn't really want to die, see? I always lived off of fear. I always lived off of anger. Because, see, I thought I was surviving through that. Those were my survival skills, you know. But I'm going to tell you, through the grace of God, he has stripped me. He has unveiled me against my own will. Because I ain't in charge. I thought I was, but I ain't there. I'm not the one. The God of my understanding is in charge. And this morning, that's who I prayed to. And before I went to bed last night, that's who I prayed to. And I asked him to guide me. And for him to give me the words to say, because see, I want to come up here and I want to look real good, you know, and I want y'all to think that I'm all that, you know. And yesterday I had to pray and I had to ask the God of my understanding, let me have a lowly spirit, because my ego will get real, real big, you know, and I'll be thinking I'm something that I'm not. I am not the one. I'm just an addict, a recovering addict, and I want to recover today. They say that I don't have to live like I used to live. That's what y'all told me when I first came in. So you don't have to live like you used to live. You don't have to use even when you want to use. They say the newcomers are the most important person. And that's true. You know, I haven't found it necessary to use since October the 14th, 1995. Only through the grace, only through you people. You know, and it's only through God's grace. I don't take none of that. It's not mine. It's not mine. I give it to the God of my understanding because he's kept me here. You people have kept me here, even when I didn't want to be here, when I wanted to try to find and make an excuse to go out and use, and I want to blame somebody else, and I want to blame something else. Oh, I went out and used because this was happening and this was that was happening. I want to use because I don't want to deal. Because I want to escape. I don't want to feel what I'm feeling. That's what I've always ran from. Feelings. Shame and guilt. Today I'm dealing with my therapist because I found out from me being sexually molested that is coming up in my behaviors today. I went to an abused persons program and they said, why you want to be here? I said, because I see that the things happened to me when I was a child, they're coming out. They're coming out in my relationships. You know, because my thing was, a man always supposed to take care of me. That's your job. You're supposed to provide for me. It ain't so. I'm learning to be independent today. I'm learning to depend and rely on the God of my understanding. I'm learning how to surrender. And not only do I have to surrender in the first step, I got to surrender every day. Because when I get real confused, when I get real irritated, when I'm real frustrated, it's because I'm running on self-will run right. Because I'm trying to do things my way. Because, see, I'm self-reliant, like I said. And I can work it out. Because, see, I'm strong and I can handle it. You know, I got to stick on these things. I got to come and ask you all for some help. I better ask somebody for some help. I don't know what to do lots of times. Still today. I have to ask somebody, how does this sound to you? I have to call somebody and ask them, what do you think about this? I'm talking about being unveiled and reaching out and letting the fear fall to the side, the false pride fall to the side, and ask somebody to help me. Can you show me how to do this? I need some help. Can you come and take me to a meeting? Can I get a ride with you? It's my responsibility for my recovery. I used to walk out there and walk the streets every night. So why can't I walk to a meeting? Why can't I go across the street or down the street or over the bridge to a meeting? Because those are the kind of things I used to do when I used to use. I used to always think about everybody else, put Shield on the back burner. I had to find out that I was hurting me so bad. The things that I had done to myself. How I hurt me so bad. So much. The unworthiness. You know? The self-esteem. The low self-esteem. The guilt. I told y'all I suffer from all the character defects. And I'm just going to get better a day at a time. That's what's been going on in my life. I always felt and thought that I was a failure. You know, I never thought that I would amount to anything or that I couldn't make it. You know, my dad used to always tell me, oh, you ain't gonna never do nothing. That's been buried down deep inside. That's what's in my recycler and my garbage disposal. You know, oh, you ain't gonna finish nothing. I'm in school today. I'm being a mother today through the grace of God. You know, I was taken from my mom at 5 years old. I had big time resentments against her and my dad. I bonded with her. I've shared with her. I've been the little girl with her because I'm going to tell you, at I was 9 years old when I was in California and my inner child, she came out. And that was my first experience of doing some of the things that I always wanted to do as a child. And a lot of people used to laugh when I used to share about it, you know. And she comes out anytime right now. Sometimes she's 5 years old. Sometimes she's 7. Sometimes she's 8. I stopped growing at a real young age, emotionally and mentally. You know, I'm learning how to hug me today and tell myself, I love you, Sheila. Buy myself something every day, even if it's just a bottle of water. And say, I love you, Sheila. Thank you, Sheila. I had to learn how to do these things. But I had to have somebody in my life to lead me and guide me and tell me what to do. I had to take some suggestions. I had to become open. And it wasn't easy for me to do. I had to pray and ask the God of my understanding to help me to be honest with me, to help me to be open, to help me to be willing. Not always willing. And when I'm not always willing, like I said, self-will run riot. I get a whole lot of pain. And I used to blame everybody else for all my pain. I'm talking about taking responsibility for mine. This brother, he helped me. I said, I'm mad at this nigga. He said, well, why are you mad, Sheila? I said, because I allowed him to hurt me and do this to me and do that to me. He said, well, Sheila, you know what? Sometimes I don't think we want to be held accountable for our own stuff and take responsibility for our behavior. And I took a look at that. Don't nobody hurt me. I hurt myself. I stayed in that relationship I was in for 14 years, hurting Sheila. Staying in it and knowing it was unhealthy. Knowing I was hurting. I was hurting me. And hurting somebody else. Because hurt people hurt people. Because I ain't feeling good about me. Misery loves company, they say. I was hurting Sheila. And I'm realizing that today. I'm looking at that today. But guess what? I got some joy. I thought I was all bad. I ain't all bad. You know? Finding out about me through my fourth step with my sponsor. You know, I had to go through my childhood, my adolescent years, and I had to go through my adulthood, you know. And I had to ask the God of my understanding to help me, too, because I couldn't do it alone. I used to always think I could do it by myself. I can't do it alone. You know, they say an addict alone is in bad company. Y'all know about that stinking thinking? You know, the skeletons in the closet. Not turning the light off and keeping it on. You know what I'm learning today? I'm learning some perseverance. Going on in spite of whatever's happening in my life. I have to go on in spite of. I cannot give up anymore. One day at a time. And that's all I have. All I have is 24 hours. One day at a time. And I had to take about a second, a minute, and an hour in the beginning. And I had to go through prayer. Because that's what works for me. Because see, something else might work for you. But that's what works for me. And everybody has their own story. And this is my story. I thought that I had faith when I first came in. And I found out that I was faithless. Through the steps, I've gained some faith. Through some evidence in my life, I've gained some faith. It wasn't me out there saving me all them times. It was the God of my understanding saving me all them times. You know, when I was out there using, when I could have got shot up, when me and my kids could have got killed. Because that's how I lived. I lived a real dangerous life. Destruction. You know, but you know what, y'all? After the drugs was gone, because after a year being clean, right? Being clean wasn't enough anymore. I had to start doing some work. You know, I thought that it was going to be some instant gratification. You know, because that's what I'm used to. I had to end up doing some work, and I didn't want to do no work. I wanted things to happen and be just as is. You know, I had to start doing some work, and I had already did my first step with my sponsor. But I'm talking about getting in service and giving it back. And learning how to do things for people and not asking for anything in return. And not even expecting anything in return. And when I have some secrets going on with me. When I have some stinking thinking going on with me. I better tell somebody. When I have a drug dream. I had a drug dream last week. I called my sponsor. I said, I had a drug dream. She said, I had one too. And she said, I enjoyed mine. I said, you did. She said, yeah. I said, but I ain't like mine, because I felt like I used when I woke up. And I don't like those dreams, y'all. I don't want to live like I used to live. Y'all told me I don't have to live like I used to live. Just take one day at a time, follow some suggestions, go to some meetings, pray, read some literature, help somebody with no strings attached. You know, if you're a newcomer, stay here. It's a lot of miracles in store for you. Look at that sun coming up. Isn't that beautiful? That's wonderful. I remember I didn't even care about the sun one time. I can enjoy the skies and the water and the sun and the trees and the flowers. Y'all, when I was in California, y'all brought me a jump rope, I meant to tell y'all. And I jumped rope and I picked flowers and I picked roses and I sang songs and I rode bikes down the dirt roads. I had so much fun. You know, I'm allowing my little girl to come out, because I got to love her. I fought for so long to keep her down, to discipline her, to treat her mean, to hurt her. That's what I did. But I'm learning to love her and let her come out at any time. If I feel like skipping, I can skip. I skip with my kids sometimes. I got some beautiful children, and they don't even belong to me. They belong to the God of my understanding. He gave them to me as a gift. So I have a responsibility. They depend on me. You know, I'm a single mother. I like my freedom. I'm learning how to set some healthy boundaries for myself. I never had any healthy boundaries before. I never respected my boundaries before. And I'll tell you real fast, oh, you don't respect my boundaries. No, like the counselor told me, Sheila, you don't respect your own boundaries. I'm learning how to respect my own boundaries today. I'm learning how to say no today. Because see, when I do something that I really don't want to do, when I say yes and I really want to say no, you know who I end up being mad with? I end up being mad with me. And I'll take it out on somebody else. That's something I've always done. You know, my kids today, like I said, I see a reflection of me through my children. With me doing all the hollering and the screaming, they do the same thing. I be saying, oh my God, this sounds so terrible. Then I had to start learning how to work with them. I'm learning how to be a mother today. You know, I got to be an example for them, you know. And I'm telling them, we can do this together. We can learn how to quiet down and calm down. Let's take some deep breaths. You know, we done been through all kinds of programs. I love it, and they love it, too. I'm talking about self-esteem programs. We done been to two of them. We went to a strengthening families program. I love my babies so much. I love my babies so much. I'm learning how to love me. And when I can love me, accept me, because I'm learning how to accept Sheila with all the flaws, you know, I can accept somebody else. I can accept you for where you are, especially when I don't get in the way and I be trying to run things. Because, see, I told y'all that I thought I had some power. See, and I'm always trying to run things or be in charge of something. But I be broken down real, real fast, you know. And I know that it's not you, Sheila. It ain't you. You want it to be you. See, I always want attention. That's what I see through my kids. They always seeking attention. They seek a lot of negative attention. I'm learning how to reward them for positive attention. That's what I'm learning how to do. Because, see, I used to reward them for negative attention. You know. And for change for me was for me to learn how to reward them for positive attention. That was a painful thing. I was used to giving them their way. With the tantrums falling out, my 5-year-old, she tried now. I said, girl, you got to go to timeout. She said, no, mommy, no, mommy, no. Go to timeout so you can have some time to yourself. Timeout is a safe place for you. So you can think about what you're doing. And you can learn a positive way. The next time, you won't have to go there. Those are the kind of things that I'm doing today, y'all. I have a job. I'm working. When I want to complain about the job, because I do lots of times, when I want to say I'm tired and I don't want to go in, I have to say thank you, God. And I deal with customers on the phone, irate customers. And I have to be pleasant. And I have to be nice. I have to listen. And I always pray, and I always say, God, help me to be humble. And they say, watch what you pray for, because you just might get it. You know, because that's a humbling experience for people to cuss you out and holler at you over the phone. And I have to say, oh, I understand, ma'am. And I will help you. You know, we will accommodate you as soon as we can. And you have a beautiful day. Have a pleasant day. I enjoy doing those things. I enjoy saying those kind of things to those customers. It helps me to get better. That's what it does. It helps me to get better. You know, like I said, I'm in school, and my counselor that comes to the house, she was telling me, Sheila, your plate is full. It's too much for you. Once again, I want to try to do things my way. I said, I can do it. I can do it. So I'm going to work. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm going to school. After work, I go to therapy. On Wednesdays, my kids go to therapy. We have family meeting night on Mondays. I'm always busy. I learned that from my sponsor. You know, to always stay busy. And that's what I learned to do. When somebody asked me to come and share, when somebody asked me to coordinate their anniversary, I'm right there for them. Because I remember how it was for me. When I first came in here, y'all was here for me. I got a lot of love. Y'all told me y'all was going to love me until I learned to love myself. And I needed that. I needed somebody to love me and hug me. They say hugs are better than drugs. I love hugs. I'll tell you in a minute. I love hugs. And don't give me no fake hugs because I'm going to tell you about it. Don't give me no puppy dog hugs. Give me a big hug. Those hugs feel good, y'all. Because they are better than drugs. Talking about some insanity. It's funny how when you get clean. Because, you know, when I got clean, I thought everything was going to be peaches and cream. And everything was going to be all right. But see, now I'm confronted with all these behaviors that I've gotten. All these defects, you know, in my sixth step. Instead of me surrendering, I want to try to fix it and do it on my own. So see, I can handle it. I can change, you know. I'm not the one. I have to surrender and ask the God of my understanding to help me to change. To put these character defects to a rest. You know, this incurable disease that we have, that we suffer from. You know, it can be arrested one day at a time. All you need to do is take some simple suggestions. You know, and read some literature. And I just can't say that enough. I read all the time. I try to read something every night. Those are good positive things for me. Replacing the negative with the positive. When the negative talk come in, you know, when you beat yourself up. And I believe y'all know what I'm talking about. Because they say we more alike than different. You know. When I want to tell myself, oh, Sheila, your stomach's too fat. Or, ooh, I want to get my breasts down. They're too big. Or, oh, I want to get my teeth fixed. Because I'm not feeling good about myself. I'm learning how to say, girl, you're beautiful. And I love you. I have to say those things to myself. Those things mean a lot to me today. And I wasn't able to do it on my own, like I said, y'all. I'm learning how to reach out. Reach out for some help. Look at all this recovery up in here. Did y'all enjoy yourself this weekend? Yeah. I did. I had a good time. I was running around like a mad woman. Running around here and there. Getting a message. Getting some hugs. Fellowshipping. It's nothing like being clean. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. I love being clean. There's been a lot of joys in my life. A lot of miracles in my life. It's even been some uncomfortability in my life. A whole lot of anger. A whole lot of guilt. A whole lot of things that come up. But I'm learning how to be grateful for that too. Because at least I can feel. I remember when I used to be so numb. You know, that's the way that I was used to living, to being numb. So I wouldn't have to deal. I wouldn't have to deal with me. I wouldn't have to deal with life. I don't have to live like that anymore. One day at a time. Because if I let my ego feed me, I'd be all into next week, next month, last year. You know, I got to take one day at a time. And I have to be reminded lots of times. One day at a time, Sheila. And I have to be reminded lots of times, too. And somebody has to tell me lots of times, it's going to be okay. And it's going to be all right. I've had to learn how to go on in spite of. You know, I got into this relationship And I was expecting for this guy to love me and please me. And one day I turned around and he was sitting on my bed. And I was lonely, right? And I looked around and I was like, damn. He's sitting right there and I'm still lonely. I'm still feeling alone. You know what I found out? Happiness comes from within. I already got the love right inside of here. That's where it comes from. Right from the inside. Y'all say it's an inside job? That's right, it's an inside job. Because in the beginning, I used to dress up. I still dress up because I like to look good. But I used to be a dressed up garbage can. Because see, I was walking around looking real good with a whole lot of stuff going on inside. You know, and I didn't want to tell nobody how I was feeling. Because I didn't want you to think that I was low. I want you to think that I was all that. But I better share. And I better tell somebody I'm hurting. And I'm feeling bad or I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? That's my main thing. That's what I learned how to do. I got a network of people. I call them. Talk to them on the phone. They be saying, Sheila, girl, I got to go. I be trying to hold them on the phone. Because I need some help. I want to talk. You know. But I got some beautiful, wonderful people in my life. All you beautiful, wonderful people out here, we can always get something from one another, you know. All this unity, that's what it's called, unity. Some hope, this is hope, one day at a time. Because that's what I have, no matter what happens in my life, it's some hope. And I go through the self-run, real run ride to act, because I, like I said, I suffer from self-reliance. You know, I still want to do things my way. My liabilities, one of the things was self-reliance, low self-esteem, and guilt, anger. I lived off of that for a real long time. I thought it was keeping me safe, but I was killing myself emotionally and mentally. That's what I was doing. I was hurting myself some more. Because see, after the drugs was gone, there was other ways to hurt me. You know, I didn't get, like I said, I'm not well and I'm not fixed. I just get better. You know, I'm talking about stuff like not eating all day. Oh, I'm dieting. I'm trying to lose some weight. No, you punishing yourself and you hurting yourself. And you can sugarcoat it. You can fix it up. You can do how you want to do. Say what you want to say. Believe what you want to say. You hurting yourself. You know, putting myself on the back burner and putting somebody else before me. That's something I always did. Not caring about me. Y'all told me I'm responsible for my recovery one day at a time. And like I said, I don't like responsibility lots of times. But then sometimes when I be riding or either walking and I see people out there like I used to be out there and they looking like zombies, because that's how I used to look too when I was out there and living in the darkness. Because that's where I was living in the darkness. There wasn't no light for me. I didn't want to see no light. I really thought that I wanted to die, but I really didn't. But when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, that's the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Isn't that the best thing that could have happened to y'all? Being clean is beautiful. Is being clean and beautiful to you all? Because it's wonderful to me. It don't sound like y'all got no spunk. Yep. You know. I love being clean. I don't know about y'all, but I do. I don't want to live like I used to live. I don't have to live like I used to live. You know? One day at a time, but I ain't exempt. Because I got to remember that. I can go back out at any time. Any kind of excuse that I can find. But all excuses are gone. There's no more excuses for me to use. It's because I don't want to give up. I want to give up on me. Because I don't want to do something. I want to be self-reliant. I want to have some false pride. You know, I want to do things my way. Want what I want when I want it. Because we all suffer from that. We might make like we don't. But we do. You know I do. Doing things willingly. Through prayer for me. I just don't know. I don't know. I'm real filled up right now. I feel real light, real loose. I feel real free, you know, full of love. I got a lot of love to spread. A lot of love to spread around. A lot of hugs to give out. That's what I like. That's what I get. So why not share it? You know, and not hold on to it. I'm finished. Anyway, I want to thank CPR CNA for allowing me to share. For letting me share my experience, strength, and hope. For letting me share about learning about patience, because that's what I learned about. Perseverance, that's what I'm learning about. Let me repeat that. That's what I'm learning about. Because I must continue to stay open. Because I have not arrived. And when I think that I have, the God of my understanding always...